Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Begin with verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Our message tonight is sola fide, faith alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless in this service tonight. We ask a special blessing on each one that may be here this evening that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night that they would submit themselves to the righteousness that is revealed in the Scriptures, and by faith they would call upon Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would be merciful to hearts, even as we have learned this week that you were to young Emily. Lord, I pray that you would continue working in our midst. Lord, open our hearts to receive your word. We thank you for the great time we've been able to have. Look forward to a great time for the rest of the week. Thank you for the good meal and fellowship we have been able to have. But Lord, now we pray for the fellowship around your word. We ask a blessing for those that were not able to be here tonight, for the requests that are made from this body and also our own and all the other churches represented. I ask, Lord, that you would be with each one. Keep us safe tonight, we ask, Lord. Help us to enjoy the time we have with your word. But Lord, let it speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Second message in our series, Sola Fide, Faith Alone, is a term that arose to return to the old teaching that justification is by faith and faith alone. What had happened during the early ages of Catholicism and even into the Dark Ages, the lines of justification had become mixed. They had become muffled. Roman Catholics have been known to always run justification and sanctification together. And what is begun by faith is completed with works. But sola fide, faith alone, is a return to the truth that justification is by faith. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and through faith we are saved. Tonight we will look at this teaching from Romans chapter 10 and pray that the Lord would save the lost among us and open our hearts to hear His word. Number one, ignorant of righteousness. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? Now, usually we would generically say that the righteousness of God is the attribute wherewith God is holy and He is righteous. Let me get to that in just a second. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You see, we know that one thing the Old Covenant did was that it revealed the righteous character of God. If you were to look through the law and read through the Ten Commandments and the law that was given to Israel, you'll see that it reveals the righteous character of God. Of course, no man has ever been saved through the Ten Commandments. That's not exactly the purpose of the Ten Commandments, to save a man. But it reveals the righteous character of God and reveals where we have fallen short. In Psalm 119, verse 137, the Bible says, Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Verse 142 says, Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Let me read one more verse to you in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, verse Leviticus chapter 19. We'll be going back to Romans 10 in just a moment. You see, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, revealed the holy and righteous character of God. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Jehovah God is 100% completely, totally righteous. He commanded and demanded righteousness of His people, commanding them to be holy. And that's why when you come to Romans chapter 10, verse number 3, that verse leaps off the page, because it says that they were ignorant of God's righteousness. The Bible says the Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness. And here's the meaning there behind that. Sometimes when we speak of the righteousness of God, we think that we think of the attribute of God. We think of His righteousness and His holiness. That's not what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 10. He's not speaking of the attribute of God's righteousness. But one thing, you see, the Jews weren't ignorant of that. You know, the Jews were not ignorant that God was holy and righteous. The Jews were not ignorant that God commanded righteousness. What the Jews were ignorant of is that God had provided righteousness and that the Lord had sent righteousness to them. As He speaks of righteousness, He speaks of what God does in saving the sinner. Justification, the act whereby, the legal decree whereby God declares from heaven that we are not guilty any longer. The action wherewith the Lord places the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our account. Justification, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now think about this. Let me explain this way. What does it take to be saved? Righteousness. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Know ye not that the unrighteous, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Without righteousness, we can never see the Lord. We can never make it to heaven. Let us agree first on that pivotal point. To make it to heaven, we must have righteousness. But here's the thing. When men think of righteousness, they restrict their thinking to righteousness as only the things that they do which are right. Only the things that are done. And what happens is that men begin to believe that if they are doing right, that is all is necessary for them to make it to heaven. You see, if you were to read verse number 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, if you are ignorant of the fact, if you are unknowing of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided righteousness, if you're ignorant to the fact that the righteousness of God, the action whereby He justifies the sinner, if you're ignorant of that, what's the first thing you'll do? Going about to establish their own righteousness. And that's what Israel had done. And that's what we have done. In our ignorance of God's righteousness, we always go about to establish our own. What is it that men are depending on to get them to heaven? Their own righteousness. So many attempt to do what the law says. I want to read this passage to you. If you'll jump down to verse 5, if you're there in Romans chapter 10, let me show you some areas in which men misunderstand the law. Okay, where some men misunderstand the law. Romans chapter 10, verse number 5, we forget that the law demands perfect obedience. It says in verse 5, For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You see, what do people say? You know, when we knock on doors and we pass out Bibles and talk to people about the Lord, and whenever you talk to man about his soul's condition, What are the phrases that come to mind? What are the phrases that they use? Well, I'm trying my hardest. I'm really trying. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying my hardest. You know, that's not what the law says. You know what the law says? Do and live. That's what the law says. There is no place in the Old Testament that tells you to try hard. There is no place that tells you to give it your best effort and with sincerity. That will make you accept. No, the law says do and live. In Romans chapter 2, in verse 25, it is described this way. Romans chapter 2, in verse 25. For circumcision verily profiteth. You know, do good works have an impact? Here's what he says. Sure, circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. You say, well, I'm doing some of the deeds of the law. Well, you don't do some of the deeds of the law. You don't give it your best try. You do and live. If you're circumcised, or if you follow the seventh commandment and never commit adultery, but you break the third one, then your unadultery has become adultery. See, that's the description there. Your circumcision can become uncircumcision. Why? Because you don't follow the rest of the law. You see, we've misunderstood that when we look at God's law, that we give it our best shot and we do our best, we do the most that we can, when the law actually says, do. Be ye holy. Be ye holy. What happens to man as he reads through the Bible, and if he's honest with himself and honest with the truth of God's Word, he sees that he always comes up short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what happens when man comes up short? Man starts to do extra things. Things that aren't even written in the Bible. I mean, we'll begin to wear ashes on our foreheads. We'll begin to eat fish on Fridays. And we'll do things that aren't even written in the Bible. Why? Because we really know down deep inside, when it comes to this, and when it comes to this book, we have really not met the standard. And so we go about to establish our own righteousness. And we go about doing deeds in our lives and deeds with these hands and with these bodies that we believe will justify us before the Lord, that will justify us before God. If you were to truly get a grasp on God's Word, you will come to one conclusion. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. We are all an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And always remember what it says there, your righteousnesses are filthy rags. That not the things you're ashamed of, the things you're proud of. The good things that you've done, the Bible, not to mention the bad, you know, what are the bad things you've done if the good things you've done are filthy rags? All our righteousnesses. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You see, man needs righteousness. But in his own, he falls short. John chapter 3. In verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Right. And this is serious, and this may sound hard, and I don't mean for it to be, and I don't mean it for it to come off hard. But many men are convinced with the fact that when it comes down to the end of their life and they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, that there at that point, after weighing all that they have done, He will make a declaration of whether or not they are worthy to enter into heaven. The declaration's already been made. See, you won't stand before the Lord someday and then He'll condemn you. The Bible says you're condemned already. Why? Because you've not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Here's the condemnation. If you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of the truth of man's soul, light has come into the world. Man's remedy to sin has come into this world. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, has descended from heaven, given His life as a ransom for sinners. And this is the great condemnation, that God has provided righteousness. But men loved darkness rather than light. Here's the condemnation, is that man, if he would humble himself and come to the feet of Jesus Christ and believe and trust in Him, he could have salvation. And here's the condemnation. He doesn't want it. He loves darkness rather than light. And therefore, in verse 18, man is condemned already. We are ignorant of the righteousness of God. Therefore, we have gone about to establish our own righteousness, only to find someday when we stand before the great white throne that it's not a righteousness He accepts. Number two, imputed righteousness. So turn back with me to Romans chapter 10. So what then is the hope of man? He must have righteousness. He must have righteousness. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, who's more righteous than a Pharisee? None of us. I mean, are you kidding me? Listen to how that Pharisee prays. I mean, he fasts twice in the week. He gives tithes of all that he possesses. And he's not a drunkard, he's not an extortioner, he does this and he does this. He's surely not like this publican over here. And the Pharisees, they wear their long, beautiful robes and hang God's word about their neck and say all the good things that they've done. None of us are as righteous as the Pharisees. But Jesus Christ said, you've got to be more righteous than them to get to heaven. How can we do that? Romans chapter 10, verse 4 tells us how. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There's your answer right there, folks. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. How is someone saved? They must have righteousness. We realize that ours isn't good enough. We must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a few things this evening and tell you about this righteousness that is offered in Christ. The righteousness that is offered in Christ, the action where God gives us the righteousness of Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. I would like to tell you some things about this righteousness. You have to have it to be saved. But let me define this righteousness for you. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The first thing I would say to you about the righteousness of Jesus Christ is it is a righteousness without the law. It's a righteousness without the law. In other words, to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed into your account, to have the righteousness of Christ covering your sins, it's something that comes about without the works of the law. Comes about without the works of the law. In Romans chapter 4, Paul gives his great digest here about Abraham and his salvation. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. Not because Abraham was the first one that was ever saved, but Abraham's really the first one who was saved that the Bible tells us in detail about the events in his salvation. In Romans chapter 4, verse number 9, Paul continually had to fight with Judaizers and legalistic behavior, speaking of circumcision. Of course, in Acts chapter 15 and even on down in the early history of the church, the Jews played very big on circumcision. That men had to bear the mark of the covenant if they were going to bear the righteousness of Christ. And so Paul begins to describe Abraham and his salvation. And in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father has appertaining to the flesh has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Verse 9, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the circumcision also?" Do you have to be circumcised to be saved? This blessing of justification that Abraham had found, is it only for the circumcised or is it for the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, that's his way of describing in shorthand, going through and saying, hey, Abraham was circumcised in Genesis chapter 17. When does the Bible say that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness? Genesis chapter 15. It was at least 15 years after Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. 15 years later, he was circumcised. So this is Paul's way of going about. Now, we're going to talk about circumcision here. And yes, that started with Abraham and the covenant that was made there with the Lord. But wasn't Abraham saved before that? Now, do you get it when you're circumcised or when you're uncircumcised? Do you get saved? Is salvation finally complete? Will Emily's salvation be final when she's baptized? Is it something that's begun and is going to be finished when she comes out of the water? Now, see, that is being taught today. And that's been taught down through history that what is begun in faith is completed with works. And that's not what the Bible says regarding justification. It's not what the Bible says regarding the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It is a righteousness without the law. Isn't this a weird verse, Romans chapter 4, verse 5? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. You know who God justifies? Ungodly people. You know the Lord doesn't save righteous people. He saves sinners. He doesn't save the super righteous, the Pharisee type human being. He saves the ungodly. And to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You want to know when a man is really saved? The day he quits working for it. The day he quits trying. And the day that he quits doing the deeds that he believes is necessary. It's a righteousness without the law. But unto him that worketh not, God, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. God justifies the ungodly. It is a righteousness in Romans chapter 10, I might also say this, that must be submitted to. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now here's the thing. There has to come a point in a man's life when he truly calls upon the Lord. And see, when a man does that, in his heart, what is really going on there? When a man, he's turning from his own self. You see, he says there in that verse that we've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Before you can really submit and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I need your righteousness. There must come a point first when you say, man, my righteousness isn't doing very well here. And you see what your righteousness has got you. And you see what your righteousness will gain for you. And you say, this isn't enough. And you look at the righteousness of Jesus Christ and you say, that's what I need. That's what I've got to have. And you'll submit to that. There is something that is bred in our nature as human beings that we want to do everything for ourselves. And that's not, you know, in some things that's not necessarily a bad thing. When it comes to your spiritual condition, it'll get you in so much trouble. We can't get there on our own. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that comes by realizing and admitting that our righteousness isn't going to get us there. And we submit to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a righteousness, it says, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The work's finished. Christ has done it. We quit working and submit to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Have you submitted to it? Do you believe tonight that you can get to heaven on your own? If that would be your attitude tonight, the Bible says that you wouldn't be saved. And here's the Lord's way of describing that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And Jesus Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You say, I think I can get there on my own. They that are whole, then they don't need a physician. You know the kind of people that the Lord saves? Ungodly people. Ungodly people that will realize their sins and realize that they need Jesus Christ. And I'll say this, it is received by faith. And faith alone. Let me read some verses to you now that we understand. Romans chapter 3. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Now that we understand our need for righteousness and that righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is the only one that is available that would cure us, we realize that ours isn't enough. We realize that we must submit to the righteousness of Christ. How do we do that? How do we gain His righteousness? Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We conclude that a man is justified by faith. If you're there, read over one chapter in chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, this teaching that has arisen, and it arisen during the time of Catholicism, during the Catholic Church, that what was begun with work, with faith was completed with sanctification, completed with works. Of course, they've changed from that and don't even believe that. But it was never finished with works. Jesus Christ justifies the ungodly. That when a man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, and in faith coming to Jesus Christ lays hold on him and says, Christ, I need your righteousness, and ask forgiveness of his sins, trusting Jesus Christ, at that point, God declares that man not guilty. You say, what has he done? He hasn't done anything. And that's all that God wants you to do, is get to the point where you quit working for it and realize that you need Jesus Christ and lay hold on him. You say, that sounds too simple. You're working too hard. You're working too hard. I mean, you think that this over here and this over here and this over here is going to get you to heaven. And the Lord says, you're ignorant of righteousness. The righteousness is provided. Why have you gone about to establish your own? Why haven't you submitted to the righteousness of Christ? How do you do it? You just receive it by faith. By faith you come to Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The righteousness of God which is by faith of Christ Jesus. We read in our text, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. Believe. And whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. Faith is what comes by hearing. You see this repeated time and time and time again. We are justified by faith. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. Justified by faith. Number 3, lastly, impeccable righteousness. Impeccable righteousness. You see, you come to Romans chapter 5, in verse 1, where it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible has given us a guilty verdict in John chapter 3, verse 18, hasn't it? They're condemned already. And the Bible says that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is one that is imputed to us, or one that is reckoned to us. It's put on our account. The Bible uses different words for the same Greek word. It uses sometimes counted, reckoned, imputed. It's all the same word there because it all means the same thing. Let me describe it for you this way. There are two accounts. Your account and Christ's account. Now let's look what the Bible says about our account. Read with me in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. What does the Bible say about man? What then? Verse 9. Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see what it says about man? You see what we've got on our account? You see what we have to offer for salvation? And then it's not really a wonder after you read verse 9 down to verse 18 that you get down to verse 20 where it says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified. I mean, if you really get a hold of what's in the heart of man and really get a hold of our sinful condition, you'll realize there's nothing that we can do. I mean, we're really totally and helplessly lost without Jesus Christ. You come over to Galatians chapter 5 and it speaks of the works of the flesh, and he mentions adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, drunkenness. And you see what all is in the heart of man. You say, I haven't done all those things. That potential's there in your heart, folks. The lost man is capable of just about anything. Amen. And that's what's on our account. And that's why when you come to Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. When God looks down from heaven, He's not happy with man, because He sees our sinful condition and He's angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. Now think about that. That's the first account. That's our account. Now I want to talk to you about the account of Jesus Christ. And let me show you some of the things the Bible says about Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Think of what the Bible says about us. We don't fear God. We don't understand. We're not righteous. When we speak, it's like a dead man speaking. Our throat's an open sepulcher. Man, our condition is hopeless and lost without Christ. Now notice what would be on the account of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." How about Matthew 17, verse 5? Matthew 17, verse 5. While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." How about John chapter 8, verse 29? John chapter 8, verse 29. Jesus Christ is speaking, and notice what He says. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Has the Bible ever said that about us? And Jesus Christ said, I do always the things that please Him. You see, in the Bible, you've got two accounts. You've got man's account, and you've got a sinner who's lost. You read our indictment in Romans chapter 3 and in Galatians chapter 5, and you read the condemnation in John chapter 9. And then you come over to the account of Jesus Christ. And when the Lord looks at Jesus Christ, His Son, He sees someone, He's well pleased. And in Jesus Christ, you have one who does all things that please the Father. In Jesus Christ, you have someone in Matthew 26 who says, "Thy will be done." Now, sometimes we do that, but sometimes we go ahead and follow on through with our own will. Jesus Christ never did that. When Jesus Christ said that prayer, "Not my will, but thine be done," do you see how in tune He was with the Father's will? And I wonder if we've ever been that in tune with the Father's will. And Christ was. Now think about those two accounts. Which one would you like to have when you stand before the Lord someday? Because He looks at me and He gives me a condemnation. And He looks at His Son and says, "I'm well pleased here. This Son does all things that I've said. My will is done in Him." And then you come to Romans chapter 5 and you see the way that we can have peace with God. Being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You read in Jeremiah chapter 23, we just did a series at our church on the Jehovah names of God. And you come in Jeremiah 23 to the name Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Not the Lord is righteous, but the Lord, our righteousness. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. I stand before the Lord today justified. That is a legal declarative term that I'm not guilty. When the Father looks down from heaven and He sees me, He declares not guilty. And that is because of the work of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that He has made us accepted in the Beloved. That's His Son. We have been accepted in Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord, and some have gotten this wrong, the Lord does not do something and then accept us on what we become. He accepts us on the work of on what Christ has done. It's the work of Jesus Christ that makes us acceptable to the Father. We come to Him by faith. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I could go through, Romans is the classic book on it. We could exhaust the entire book if we had many more lessons. But you see, the great truth that flows all the way through the book, man is a sinner. Man is lost. Man's only hope is righteousness. But it's a righteousness that can't be earned. And it's a righteousness without the law. It doesn't come by you meeting a standard. There's no standard that you meet and then you become righteous. It's something that simply is received by faith. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. You think you got something to brag about? Paul says, listen to my credentials. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, no one was more zealous than I, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Lost sinner, did you know that tonight you could be righteous in the sight of God? You could be justified. I like the old way that it was described. To be justified means in God's eyes to be made just as if I'd never sinned. You could leave here tonight justified before God. You say, how do I do that? By faith. By faith, in faith alone. There's no standard that you meet. There's no work. There's no law. Paul said, I sure don't. He said, touching the law, I was blameless. But I don't want that. I want to be found in Him, not my righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Martin Luther described faith as this. He said it's the ring clasping the jewel. And that's what a lost sinner needs to do. Tonight, would you realize your lost condition before the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you come to a point where you turn from your own righteousness that you've tried to establish? Will you realize that it's not enough and come to Jesus Christ and submit to His righteousness? And if all you can do is be that ring that reaches out to clasp that jewel, that's what you need to do with Jesus Christ. Lay hold on Him in faith and you can have His righteousness. You can have His righteousness by faith and faith alone. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word, and thank You for the truth of it. And we pray, Lord, for those that are here tonight that may not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, they don't even know maybe that You've provided the way to heaven. We are still ignorant of Your righteousness. But Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would open hearts and help them to see that their righteousness is not enough, Lord. And even all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Help them to see their lost condition, because without that, they'll never see their need of salvation. They'll never see their need of Jesus Christ. Those that are whole don't need a physician. And how many times even did I, Lord, leave the service and leave Your Word, believing on my own that I was okay and that I was good enough. Lord, help us to turn to Jesus Christ. Help some lost sinner, Lord, to see their condition before You tonight. Save souls, Lord, we pray. Grant faith and faith alone. We thank You, Lord, for the time we've been able to have even tonight to preach Your Word. Pray that it was a blessing to these people, and ask, Lord, for a great service here the rest of the evening. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.